Wishes and your prayers. Invite you to turn with me to begin with to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Lord, being my helper, I actually have three verses, portions of scripture that I'd like to take the time to share with you. This morning, albeit briefly, and which, you know, if I had a couple hours, it'd still be briefly. But there are two basic approaches to getting a point across. That's the positive and the negative. You either tell someone that this is the way it is, or you tell them this is not the way it is. Now, I think that maybe some time back I spoke about the importance of the word not. God told Adam in the beginning that of all the trees that are in the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou mayest not eat thereof. There's a part of me that one of these days, Lord willing, I'll get to meet Brother Adam. I'm going to ask him one question. What part of not did you not understand? He'll probably look at me and say, ditto. Because I've been there and done that. But thinking about that, some of our most precious verses of Scripture, which of course they're all precious, but some of our most precious verses of Scripture that teach us valuable lessons, especially when it comes to theology, the word not is a very important part of the sentence structure and of the lesson being taught. For example, we as Primitive Baptists, I'm Primitive Baptist, was raised that way, but of course I don't believe that we're the only ones that consider Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 precious verses of Scripture, but they are precious. But I believe that there'd be very few Primitive Baptists that couldn't quote these two verses of Scripture. And if you can't, now I'm not going to say that. They read this way, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Apostle Paul, in teaching us the lesson concerning salvation by grace, concerning how that we're saved as far as our eternal destination and our home in heaven is concerned, this is what brings it about, this is what not brings it about. And they're two contrasting things. The grace of God is the gift of God, and it's a gift that God freely gave. And it's a gift that God gave in such a way that those that he gave it to received it whether they wanted to or not. Okay? See, there are things that we receive in life that we are given them whether we want them or not. And the first thing is life. We didn't ask for life. We didn't ask to be born. We didn't even have the opportunity to ask who we wanted our parents to be. There are things in life that we receive whether we ask for them or not. Some power greater than ourselves gives us those things because it's, first of all, it's within that power to do so, and it's in their purpose to do so. And of course, we're referring to God. It is God that has made us and not we ourselves. We have natural life, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. Likewise, we have spiritual and eternal life, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. And life is not something to, this kind of life is not something we can work for in order to obtain, whether we're talking about being born naturally or being born spiritually. Now, the quality of life, that's a different subject. We can work to obtain, we can work to improve our situation in life, at least the vast majority of times. Now, sometimes, you know, circumstances may be such, opportunities may not be there, etc. But in order to improve our life, we have to have life to begin with. The life that we get to begin with is not something we do anything to obtain. But once we have been given that life, once we are born, once we come into being, and once we begin to have the ability to do so, then we can improve the quality of our life, etc. And so it is as far as eternal and spiritual life is concerned. Paul says again, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And that through faith there, the faith under consideration is not the faith of the child of God. It's the faithfulness and the faith of God who said that this is how it's going to be, and He faithfully carries it out. So He promised before the world began, and He promised when the world began, whenever Adam transgressed His law, that He would save His people from their sins, that He would send a Redeemer. And He kept repeating that promise for 4,000 years, for 4,000 years, for 4,000 years. Well, the people of God for 4,000 years who heard that promise believed it. And one of the reasons they believed it is because they believed in the faithfulness of Him that made the promise. They had faith in Him that He would carry out His promise. Jesus Christ came and carried out that promise. But before He left, He made us another promise. And that promise is that He's coming the second time. Well, the last time I checked, He hasn't come yet. Do you believe He's coming? Why do you believe He's coming? Through faith. Through faith. You believe in His word. And this dear one said, because He said He's coming. And you believe what He says. So, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And as, you know, we could spend the rest of the time on that one, on those two scriptures. But my point this morning is the expression not of works. Not of works. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. And when the Bible says something one time, that's important. That should be enough for anybody. You know, that's because He's God. He has that much authority. He has that much power to do what He says He's going to do. In fact, the Bible says that whatever God says He's going to do, He does it. He always has, and He always will. But for our sakes, oftentimes God repeats something more than once. We need that, don't we? You know, we don't ever outgrow that. You know, our humanity as parents, sometimes we get tired of having to tell our children the same thing over and over again. But it's necessary that we do that because they need to hear it over and over again. Now, we may get to the point that we don't have to keep telling them that over and over again. But I promise you, even at 68 years of age, I still need to be told it over and over again. So, second time, 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us." Now we know who is here. You know, God hath saved us. Hath, that's a perfect past tense. It's done. There's no future having to save us. That's accomplished. He hath saved us. That's done. And called us with an holy calling, not according to our what? Works. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The Apostle Paul took a piece of aluminum foil of God's blessing, and he took the little nugget of our eternal security, and he wrapped it up solid. You can't get to it. He just think of all the things that he said. He has saved us. He has called us. He's called us with a holy calling, which was a one-party line. He did the calling. We did the hearing. We responded, but our response didn't cause the calling. Right. Our response was because of the calling.
There you go.
Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. Now, according means in accordance with, agreeable to. Our works, you know, when he called us, he wasn't looking at our works. He didn't call us to do works in order to be called. He just called us. He just called us. Okay? Who has saved us? It's not a situation, you know. I had it happen several times this week. My phone went off. I was busy. I couldn't answer it. So I had to call back. Well, that's not this kind of calling. You know, God didn't call us and said, "Now, when you get the time, call me back." No, he called us. And the Bible teaches in other places that whenever he called, we answered. We responded. We came to life. Because that calling was a life-giving calling. Okay? That call I got on my phone came from a live person to a live person. And a live person answered or responded or called back. But the calling of God, this calling, in particular, of course, is not to a live person. But it's to a person who's dead in trespasses and in sins. And that God calls them, just like Jesus Christ stood at the grave of Lazarus. And he said, "Lazarus, if you want to, come forth." He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And what happened? Lazarus came forth. Just the same concept, the same power that's recorded in the first two verses of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
Amen. That's right.
That same voice said, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus came for us. One other one. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. "But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Of course, I don't have time to explain all the terminology here and all the things that Paul said that's in the in the purpose and in the process of God to bring about this salvation. Because my purpose this morning is, here's the third time that Paul says, first he says, it's not of works. Then he says, it's not according to our works. And here he says, it's not by works. And here he says it a little differently, and I'm glad Paul added this. He says, not by works of righteousness. Okay. See, he hits the nail one more time, drives it a little deeper. It's not by works of righteousness. Now we can do righteous works. When we are born of the Spirit of God, then we have the ability, the power from God to do that which is right, to do righteousness. But that righteousness comes after the fact, not before. That righteousness, that ability to please God by our works of righteousness, comes after He's called us, after He has regenerated us, called us from that dead state in sin, where we are in an odd position. It's like one said many years ago, well, that means, preacher, if what you're telling me, that I can be dead and alive at the same time. Well, technically that's true. Of course, technically it's not true. I mean, you're just alive. I mean, if you're not born in the Spirit of God, you're just alive. You know. But you're dead in trespasses and in sins. But whenever God calls you, whenever God speaks to you, whenever God regenerates you, whenever God's Spirit comes into your life, takes up its abode there, He doesn't knock on the door and say, may I come in. Whenever you begin to feel, whenever your life begins to change, it changes because He's already there. See, the light that He spoke into existence in the beginning of time didn't make God who He was. It just revealed that He was already there. And so it is in regeneration. And it's not by works of righteousness. The righteousness comes after the calling, after the being brought to life, after God has spoken to the heart of His child, made them to become a child of God, made them to be able to know spiritual things. Of course, most importantly, made them to know Him. And then they can work works of righteousness. Why? Because now they have the ability to do so. The Apostle Paul says in another place, Jesus says in another place, that which is born of the Spirit, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That means that which is born in the flesh behaves like that which is born in the flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spiritual. It's not until we're born of the Spirit that we can think spiritual things, that we can do spiritual things. In fact, it's not even until we're born in the Spirit that we can love God, who is a Spirit, by the way. So it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. May the Lord add His blessings. This is my prayer.
Appreciate the message.